following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
So Matthew 4:17 says, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now the world that we live in is broken. There are many ways that our world is currently not as it should be. Now, for those of us who are watching, it doesn't really matter our background or our belief system even coming into this. This is something that pretty much all people would agree with. But for Christians, this is not a recent discovery, nor is it something that we believe that had only happened just recently in our world. No, actually, we believe biblically that the brokenness came shortly after the world was created. And since then, what had once started out as perfect got brutally marred from its perfected state. Now, some of you guys might have noticed who have been watching over the last year or so, these different videos, that I really like white t-shirts. You know, for me, when you get a nice white t-shirt that fits nicely, I would almost say that it's pretty much my favorite when it comes to clothing, right? I would almost say that you can argue that it's almost perfection when as far as clothes go. But sadly, if you guys have ever owned a white piece of clothing, you know that all it takes is to eat a piece of pizza or to have a bowl of spaghetti, and that white shirt is now marred from its perfection after, right? I mean, some would argue, well, there's bleach and you could just do that whole thing, but even then the texture changes and it's not the same. Well, when it came to God's perfect creation, right there, the drop of marinara that marred things wasn't a piece of food that marred things. Actually, the Bible would tell us that it is the first people that God made in his very own image who make a very bad, deliberate choice, where instead of trusting the creator of all, the one who created them, they decide to rebel against him. And sadly, since that moment, things in this world have never been the same. This explains the phenomenon of why it is that we know that every single person is going to die, and yet it doesn't matter how old someone is when they die. Man, it feels like robbery to us who are closest, who lost someone that's close to us. Because we know that things aren't as they should have been, right? That since that moment, things were not as they should be. So is that it? It's just that we accept that we live in a broken world, broken relationships, broken people. Is that just the way things are and the way that things just have to be? Well, I would say not in God's eyes. Not in God's eyes. As you guys probably know, because I've mentioned it so many times, but right after that moment in Genesis, God actually promises that there will be a redeemer who will come who is going to crush the serpent's head and to make things right once again. So how does he do that? Well, when Jesus came the first time, in many ways, he crushed the serpent's head, right? As he took away the powers that sin and death once held, the powers that our enemy once wielded, and through his sacrificial death on the cross, man, he took away the strength from those things. And he did this because he did this when he made it possible that broken people, sinful people, can be reconciled to a holy God because of his sacrificial death in our place on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago. Now, That's amazing, right? That again, because of our faith in what Jesus has done, broken people like me can be restored back to the living and true God of the universe, the God of the Bible, right? But you might say, well, that's the individual, and I get that. But what about the broken world that we live in? What about just all the ways that sin has marred our world and all the effects that sin has had on it? You know, how does he make that right? Well, I would say the good news is not only in Jesus' first coming did he bring the opportunity for sinners to be reconciled at the individual level, which he did, but there's also another aspect of the good news that I want to bring to our attention just for a moment. What many commentators have actually called the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Now, some of you guys are maybe like me where you are like, gospel of the kingdom, what? Right? But many believe that these are actually the words, that we hear about Jesus, that we actually just read to from in the very beginning, that these are what it's referring to, where it says, repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near, right? The idea is that the kingdom of heaven is actually there amongst them as Jesus is there, right? So then what is the gospel of the kingdom? Well, Sam Metcalf, who is the leader of a missions movement called Novo, who's also an author, writes this. He said, it is the announcement that the direct rule of God, God's kingdom, is now available to all in and through Jesus Christ, and that one may live from the power of that rule under the lordship of the king. So he goes on to say that this aspect that I talked about at first, this way that a person can be made righteous in the sight of God, who can be reconciled back to God through faith in Christ Jesus, which, man, the Bible teaches Old Testament through New Testament, that this is the gospel about. And then he would say that this other part that I'm talking about is the gospel of, right? These aren't two different gospels. There's one gospel. There's one good news about Jesus, but these are two opposite sides of the coin that work together to give us, again, the good news about Jesus. In essence, the gospel of the kingdom could be summed up as the fact that the announcement that the king who was promised, the king has come. The king's come. And unlike any other king, where it could be a very dangerous thing for them to have ultimate authority, right? Depending upon their character, depending upon if they're full of integrity or if they were a good leader or if they were evil, like, man, that could be a dangerous thing. But because of who Jesus is, him having ultimate authority over all is actually the best thing that can ever happen to us on an individual level, and also the best thing that could ever happen to us in our world and all of creation, for him to rule over all things. Now, think about this for a moment. Speaking of Jesus' role in creation and his deity, listen to what John 1 says. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. So Jesus is not only the Savior of the world, which he absolutely is, but alongside with the two other persons of the triune Godhead, Father, Spirit, and Son, he's also the creator of the world. He's the creator of the universe and all that is within it. And who better to rule over his creation than the one who designed it all? So Jesus is the rightful king overall. And in his first coming, he inaugurated his kingdom. Even in his miracles, German theologian, I believe his name is Jürgen Moltmann, points out that this is attesting to the fact that the king has come. He says that the miracles that Jesus did in his earthly ministry were not an interruption of the natural order, but the restoration of the natural order, right? So when Jesus expels demons, heals the sick, he's driving out of creation the powers of destruction and is healing and restoring created beings who are hurt and sick. The lordship of God, to which the healing witness restores creation to health, Jesus' healings here are not supernatural miracles in a natural world. They're the only truly natural thing in a world that is unnatural, demonized, and wounded. So he's saying that in what Jesus is doing, this is not an unnatural thing, but actually because of the way that God's designed things and the way that they're meant to be, he's actually restoring, through those miracles, things back to the way that they naturally always should have been when he was ruling and reigning as king. So what does this mean for us today? Well, it means many things, but three things I want you guys to consider as I just leave this with you. One is that Jesus is king, and his kingdom is an already and not yet thing, which means that it is both something that is, but we look forward to it in a fuller sense. Secondly, that God's rule and kingdom is what's best for us and our world. No matter your situation in your own life, no matter the situation in our world, the best thing that could ever happen is that God would be ruling over those things, and that things would go more and more according to his will and his desire. This is why Jesus says inside Matthew chapter 6 that we're to pray for God's, or Matthew chapter 7, sorry, no, 6, for God's will to be done and his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then thirdly, as citizens of God's kingdom, we're reflecting its values and the way that we live and in the world that we live in, right? So as we do this, we're actually getting to tell others about the great king that we get to serve and the one who saved our souls. So God bless you guys. I know that was a lot, but I hope it blesses you today.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.